So I don't know if you've noticed, but in the course of reporting all of the market numbers, we've been averting our eyes from all the market volatility this week, not because we're scared of anything, but because we're smart. For the past week or so, we've been looking at some of the tangible but incremental gains associated with job creation, economic reality that's right in front of your face. We actually polled some listeners on this subject. What kinds of things do they look at that represent economic reality way beyond the Dow Jones Industrial Average or such abstract indices as those? A listener in New York says, I look at the number of people at the mall, cinemas, and restaurants, or just the number of cars in the parking lot at those locations. Or this listener from Denver, jobs, jobs, and more jobs. Listener from La Cruces, New Mexico, the price of milk. That's a great one. Here's a listener from Florida. I look at the value of our currency when compared to other countries. All right, a little more academic there. This morning, there's another slow incremental trend that tells a much more complete story about the strengths and vulnerabilities of the global economy. We want to focus on that this morning. It's the slow, steady rise of inflation, not just in the United States. You could look in China, where it's a very serious issue. It's a serious but quiet issue here in the United States as well. Pippa Malgram joins us. She's president and founder of Principalis Asset Management, a financial firm based in London. She also served as financial markets advisor in the White House and on the National Economic Council from 2001 to 2002. Pippa Malgram, good morning once again.
Good morning.
So, again, we're averting our eyes from the volatility, and that's a good thing. Let's take a look at the incremental growth of inflation, both in real terms as consumers see it and as economists see it. Is it important to be paying attention to inflation right now?
I think it's really important. Let's put it this way. I think that the stories we're getting out of London about the protesters and also what happened in the Middle East, this is totally driven by a combination of inflation, rising cost of food in particular, in conjunction with the huge debt burden, which means no jobs, no hope, no incomes. And people are getting squeezed by these two forces. And this is why it's really important not to get too focused on, you know, the fact that the CPI here in the United States is not moving very much, although it is going up. The real issue is to try to anticipate how inflation is going to move from the emerging markets into the United States.
Pippa, how do you think consumers are seeing inflation outside of the PPI number, which is, of course, the producer price index, the wholesale price inflation? There's also the consumer price index, the CPI, which attempts to measure inflation. But consumers see it in more tangible terms. How are businesses dealing with inflation, and what are consumers likely to see as a result?
Well, let me give you some examples. We're seeing record high prices for hard assets, for example, gold, but also things like soft commodities are hard assets as well. So everything from, you know, cotton to sugar prices. And those are the things that you put into most of the stuff you buy at the grocery store. So Levi's, for example, has announced that they're going to be raising their prices. Kimberly-Clark is raising their prices. McDonald's is raising their prices. And I bet you that all these places are going to start giving you products that are physically smaller or have less stuff in them. So, for example, one side of inflation is that Cadbury's, the chocolate company,
sure,
has just announced they're cutting 2 squares of chocolate off the chocolate bar, but they're going to charge you the same price. And why? Because we're seeing record high prices for cocoa and sugar. And since these things are going up, they got to pass on the cost somehow. So inflation can happen in the form of things just get smaller.
And let's go back to the, I don't think you necessarily drew an analogy, but you caused us to think hard about what's going on in the Arab Spring and the unrest in London as a product of a slow build of inflationary pressures on individual families that then explodes when ignited in some way. You're not necessarily saying that's on its way here, but you would caution that that tension is also building in the United States?
Well, absolutely. Let's put it this way. In the United Kingdom, the inflation rate has moved officially. The central bank's inflation rate has moved from 2.5% to 4% in about 1 year because they decided the only way to deal with the debt problem was to permit inflation to rise faster. That has been enough pain for real families to create the conditions under which you see British people engaging in looting and rioting. in the United States, literally almost at the exact same time as these riots are occurring, we start to get the word out of the Fed that maybe we should let the inflation rate rise to 4%. 4% doesn't seem like such a big number. But I think we're not connecting the dots here. A small move in the inflation rate in an environment where there are no jobs and where income is uncertain is going to hit the lowest earning, low income families really hard. And the pace at which these food prices and raw materials prices are rising and will continue to rise, because if the Fed's going to let inflation go higher, the market's going to buy those hard assets even more. This, I think, is not a small development. And, yes, we could definitely see this kind of pain in the U.S. if we decide to go down this road.
Pippa Malgram is president and founder of Principalis Asset Management, financial firm based in London. She was also a financial market advisor in the White House and on the National Economic Council from 2001 to 2002. All right. Well, then, before we go, what do you make of the New York Times editorial saying inflation is not something we should worry about now? Keep interest rates low. Let's turn the economy around with the stimulus.
Look, I think the bottom line is that the answer doesn't lie in interest rates anyway. The answer lies in productivity. And what we're seeing in the world is that as wages rise because of the inflation all over the emerging markets, wages in China are going up really fast. It's narrowing the differential with the United States. And as a result, we're starting to see manufacturing move from Asia back to America.
Really?
Brooks Brothers has announced that they're going to be producing more of their clothing in the United States. TK Maxx is the same. Tiffany is moving their production to Kentucky. Tire companies are bringing production back home. Caterpillar is producing back in America again. So I'm actually optimistic that the inflation pressures in the emerging markets are going to have a benefit to us in the United States. That's where our recovery will come from. In addition, agriculture, because that is, again, a hard asset. We've got a really serious supply-side problem, and the U.S. is the best, most efficient producer of agriculture in the world. And finally, tourism. I think the U.S. is going to have an absolutely huge tourism boom because the dollar falls when you have inflation, and that makes it just so
and
cheap.
It's definitely falling. So, Pippa, we got to go, but Pippa Malgram, thanks so much for that optimism. Pippa Malgram is president and founder of Principalis Asset Management, a financial firm based in London, formerly with the National Economic Council from 01 to 02. Optimism, what are you watching on the economy? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.